Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo, AJ, and Jesse coming to you live as the Avs just signed Nathan MacKinnon to the biggest contract of any current NHL player. Technically, not the biggest contract ever. Crosby technically got a little bit more money, but that was over significantly more years. So
largest AAV.
Largest AAV ever, correct. $12.6 million over 8 years. I don't think anyone is particularly surprised by this, but it's finally done. So it doesn't kick in till next year, of course, but I'm just glad it's done, or any more significant thoughts to start off.
No, yeah, glad it's done. Glad it's not dragging into the regular season. Obviously, we heard the interview. Everyone heard the interview, from the NHL media tour that Nate did last week, saying it's close. I want to get this done. I don't want to be anywhere else. So you were never worried that it wasn't going to get done, but it's nice to have it. It's in the rearview mirror now. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to think about it. Everyone in the organization and everyone outside the organization like us can just focus on the season and the hockey and not have to worry about it. And I tweeted out this morning, I think it's a great deal for both parties. And on a deal like this, for a play like this, like that's what you want. This I think has been like the smoothest, negotiation that we've heard of in a while. Like Kale wasn't bad. Mika wasn't bad. But look, this is a big name player. He just became the highest paid player in the league on an average annual value. You want to make sure he's happy. You want the team to feel comfortable. And I think both sides landed on that with this deal. He gets to be the highest paid player. The Avs get their term, and you know, they're not going into the 13s, into the 14s, into the 15s. Like, they kept it manageable, a little bit higher than maybe what we were, hoping for, super optimistically, before the end of the season. But I don't see how anyone can be upset about this or look at this as a bad deal. I think both sides are gonna be really happy with this.
I mean, I think that I actually haven't seen really any dissent in, like, from Colorado perspective. I see people from the outside who are like, they're going to have problems with the cap. And it's like, oh, no, they have to pay their elite players. Oh, no. But I really don't think, like, there's a really good chance that this doesn't, the end of this contract doesn't go very well, you know, and that they're paying $12 million for a guy that's just not a $12 million player anymore.
It's always the case with players going into their mid to late 30s. So.
And, like, I don't care about any of that right now. We're probably not going to care that strongly about it in 2030, right, when that deal is when the deal is ending. I wish all star contract situations could go like this, where the Avs draft a guy, They sign him to a long-term deal. They sign him to another long-term deal.
That's his whole career.
That's his career. We're done. Two contracts, you know, like this is a piece of cake. But I really don't see, like, if you go and you look at McKinnon's numbers and you look at his production, regular season, postseason, the only thing that you're going to do is nitpick at this point. Like, you can only nitpick the last 5 or 6 years of his career. I guess it's 5 years, the last 5 years of his career. And even that would be dumb. I mean, he's such a special player.
Well, and I honestly even disagree a little bit with, like, the by the end of it, you're going to be, you know, overpaying a player. Depending on where the salary cap is at and all that stuff, I mean, $12 million may end up being right in line with where a, you know, late 30s player will be. I mean, he'll be 35. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, honestly, for me, even at the end of this deal, I don't even have any, you know, real reserves about it.
I mean, we'll see how bad it gets at the end of this deal, for sure. Like, you never know. But part of that conversation is speculation to a certain extent, but there has been quite a bit of traction that the NHL is expecting a really big salary cap jump in 2024.
Yeah.
So.
And if not 24, definitely. Again, I mean, to AJ's point, we're talking about 2030, 2031 when you're really getting to the end of this deal. And yeah, I mean, one, also to AJ's point, you really don't care about that right now. But it ended up just shaking out the way that we've talked about now for, what, 2 years? They basically said, hey, look at EJ's contract. Do you want that money? It's yours. If you want it, it's yours. And that's essentially where we landed.
Yep. He got literally doubled his current deal. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. From 6.3 to 12.6. So.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's funny. Like, that he becomes the highest paid by 100K. He's like the new AAV king, and you're just like, cool. Like, you wanted to be the highest paid player in the league, and the Avs were like, we really don't want to give you $13 million. And so he was like, let's do this, I guess.
Yeah. The exact double of his contract is an interesting, because I almost wonder if that was just where it was like, do you just want to double it?
I will say the structure of this is really interesting. We have never seen the Avs do a deal structured like this before. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if this is a difference that we will see between McFarland and Sakic. Because almost the entire contract, $85 million out of the $100 million is in signing bonuses. But $45 million of that is in the first 3 years. I wonder what it's going to be like for McKinnon getting a smaller game check than Logan O'Connor this year. Because his base salary is $775. An interesting structure. More than anything, is that I just think the structure of it is like fascinating for me. And I would be willing to bet that that's the main thing that caused this negotiation to go on as long as it did.
I'm sure they had the number for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure that they've been in the 12-6 area for a while, and that the real thing is the bonuses, trying to figure out these bonuses, because they're very specific. And the 1 year that is he has a really high base salary is potential lockout season. Yep. So also a deal like this has to get a deal this big, this large, and has to have an ownership approval where they're comfortable saying July 1st of every year, we'll cut you a $15 million.
I was going to say, yeah, that's not even just C-Mac versus Joe Sakic. Like, I feel like you typically would need to see like a change at higher levels to see this kind of be done that differently. Cause yeah, I mean, that's Stan Kroenke's got to rip the check out of his book. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. And that's where you have to get owner, you know, Josh, really it's Josh that has to say, sure. The July 1st of every year, we'll give McKinnon a $15 million deal for the next 3 years. But it is interesting that from the player side, he gave back a little on the lockout year. He gave the team protection so that if there is a lockout, they're only giving him a $3 million check on July 1st of a year in which they may not have a labor agreement in
place. Base salary might not be a thing.
Exactly. So it is an interesting the one area where I think that McKinnon did the Avs a solid was right there. Was in that 1 year. I don't think that this is like he talked about, oh, I'll take a little bit less. I don't think when you become the new highest paid player in the league, you can't be like, oh, look at all the money I left on the table. But would the Avs have been like, there's no way we're giving you $13.5 million? Like, would that $1 million really have been the difference between him walking in free agency and the Avs signing him? No, I don't think it would have been. I think push comes to shove, the Avs probably go there. But I don't think that we can really talk about this in any kind of a real term of hometown discount. I think this is fair. I think it's fair for both sides. I think both of them. I don't think he left much money. I'm having a hard time believing that $100 million deal, we're going to talk about money left on the table.
As a UFA, 100% someone goes over 14. No doubt. No doubt at all.
Yeah. And so you're anyway,
$10 million over the life of the deal.
And he get 14 over 7 years. What's the difference in that money?
I can't do math.
I can't do math live on air. So
I'm just saying,
times seven is $98 million. That's less money than he just signed for. So once again, I don't think that. This isn't like, wow, what a steal. I think that he's the highest paid player in the league. He's on his way to the Hall of Fame. Hopefully they get another Stanley Cup or two along the way. And he cements himself as an all-time great NHL player. The 12.6 worth.
Well, now I'm going to sound kind of petty, but I swear to God, this is going to be my point. Anyways, I was about to build off of something you just said. I really do. It was interesting to me because Nathan McKinnon definitely has, and it's not even just necessarily reputation. It is who he is. Just, you know, a little bit prickly, a little bit, not super friendly, not super, jovial. And it's just, it's cool to see, like you said a minute ago, AJ, there's the story that's resurfaced a couple times and his dad even talked about it this summer, just a few weeks ago in an interview, how, you know, Nathan McKinnon as a kid said, I want to play for the Mooseheads. I want to get drafted by the Avalanche, play with Joe Sakic and, you know, whatever, whatever. And it's just been amazing to watch this story arc and this relationship just be built from the very beginning, right? Where, again, we didn't know all his childhood Avs stuff at the time, but he gets drafted. He comes in, he has this great rookie year. The team struggles for a few years, but he gets a long-term extension. Cool, he's here. During that extension, the team rebounds. They're back on the upswing. They're back to relevancy. They win the Stanley Cup. His next extension is coming up. And again, it seemingly seems like it was just a really easy negotiation. Both sides want this. He wants to be here. They want him here. He wants the max term. They're willing to give the max term. And then again, yeah, like you said, sure, you can – depending on who you are, you can look at it as either discount or not. Either way, it was an easy negotiation. And it's just been awesome to see a relationship like this between a superstar player and their organization. Just in today's day and age, with all the conversation you hear about that, are these players wanting to get paid? Are they just going to go to the highest bidder? We've seen more high-end players make it to UFA in the last 5 years than like ever before.
Yeah, I mean, you literally just watched Johnny Gaudreau go, F it, I'm going to Columbus. Like,
and, left and, money.
Right. And you know, it's one of those things where more and more people aren't as critical of players as they used to be, because we all understand, hey, that's within their right to do that. Had Nathan McKinnon decided he want to become a UFA and see what else was out there, everyone understand. You can be mad, but that's his prerogative. That's what he wants to do. It's really fun. It's really refreshing to see just this relationship be so, you know, symbiotic between a player who has this very outward reputation of being kind of hard to deal with and not really easy to talk to. The marriage just seems to work. And again, you just go back a few years. This is another example that I think is becoming increasingly more and more rare. Not that it's that big of a deal. Just interesting side note. Nathan McKinnon has said this for the last few years. I want to be here. I'll be back. I'll do it in a way that we make sure that we're not, you know, putting ourselves in a bad spot. And whether you think it's a discount or not, I think we can all agree. The one thing his contract does not do is put the Avs in a bad cap situation at any point going forward. So it's, again, it's just, it's been refreshing to see that, hey, he said this as of a few years ago. And, you know, the time came, he got his cup. He had every opportunity to say, let's wait and see, but kind of like Makar with UMass-ish. Nope. I said this, this was my word. I wanted to be here. Let's get it done. And it's like you said, AJ, wouldn't it be neat if just all the contract negotiations we had to cover went like this?
I mean, I don't feel like it's going to be it would be a huge shock come the summer of 2026 and Cale Makar signs an 8-year extension for $17 million, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like that's going to be a big thing.
Nope.
But yeah, it really would be nice if they were all easy like this.
It's nice that it's
certainly a lot more fun to do it this way, yeah, on the eve of media day,
yeah,
versus the eve of free agency.
Yeah. I mean,
more fun.
The last, I guess Makar's was pretty easy, but before that, the last two major ones, you had Landy on bordering on free agency, and then you had Mikko, who held out through most of training camp as an RFA, waiting to get that deal done.
Yeah.
So McKinnon's just like, nah, we're getting this out of the way. We're getting it over with. A little bit of house cleaning. There is a full NMC, of course, on the entire contract. No surprises there.
Good.
Yeah, right. Exactly. But we are brought to you by Game Time. If you love DNVR, then you're going to love Game Time. And the best way to support us is to buy sports tickets through Game Time at the link in the description of this video. You can get great all sorts of everything there. The tickets are amazing. Actually, DNVR is going to be doing a little outing to the Rockies pretty soon here. And we got all-in price for good Rockies tickets for $6. So,
yeah, DNVR actually is doing a employee night out tonight at the Rockies game, and everybody bought their shit through Game Time for literally, it was like $6 tickets.
Yep. It doesn't have any of those nasty fees like Ticketmaster. Doesn't do any of that gross stuff.
Hasn't Ticketmaster lost like multiple lawsuits over the years?
Yep.
And had to pay money back to people? Yeah.
It's basically been confirmed that they have bots that buy up the tickets and then jack up the price as resale. It's pretty awful.
So, I mean, capitalism, but smart for them. Until the
anyway, law thing. Avoid Game Time or avoid Ticketmaster. Use Game Time instead, because you can get prices up to 60% off on some of these tickets, especially when the Avs season gets up and running. Those tickets are going to cost a penny. So be sure you're in on it with Game Time. You can join over 15 million people who have downloaded the Game Time app and score the best seats to all your favorite events. Also brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. Yeah, look, I don't know how many ways we have to tell you guys that DraftKings just wants to give you a bunch of free money if you make a new account with the code DNBR. But that's basically what they continue to do. So you can join up right now with that DNVR code, and all you have to do is bet $5 on any NFL team to win to get $200 in free bets. Plus, you can boost your winnings with stepped up same game parlays. For every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. So you're talking about ridiculous boosts at that point, even if it's like a super easy, like picking the under in a Denver Broncos game right now. Yeah, not difficult. Anyway, go over to DraftKings, check it all out. Of course, you can bet on hockey. Of course, you can bet on whatever sport under the sun you can imagine. So get in there with the McKinnon deal signed. I wonder if that affected his odds for the Hart. I didn't actually check. It was plus 1,000 to bet on McKinnon to win the Hart this year last time I checked. So could be an interesting bet.
You would think that they would get worse with the contract security, right?
You would think, yeah.
Because part of the motivation of the contract year, you win the Hart going into free agency, then you're getting $15 million a year.
Well, yeah, he breaks the 100-point mark. Like, yeah. Oh, great. Great.
I did see some people today being like, he hasn't even scored 100 points in a season, which is like...
Multiple 99-point okay. Yeah, years.
He's got a 97-point season in 72 games played. He's got a 99-point season in 82 games. He has a 93 in, like, with... what, 68 games played?
Yeah, and something low.
Was it the 97 was...
Yeah, 93 and COVID. 69 games played.
The 97 points was the COVID year when it just stopped. We were all even joking, like, well, he'll blow by it this year. It won't even be close.
That was the 93-point year in 69 games.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Same difference, though.
They yeah, still had 10, they had 10 games to get him 7 points.
Right. We were like, so, yep, done.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know. If
all of that, I think the most impressive thing is that you go and you look at his career. His worst postseason was 6 points in six games.
Yep. His postseason was great, but you got to make sure that you're 21 or over. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Every time you guys are like, all right, the read's over. We're out of here. All right. Let's go. Yeah,
to be fair, you were the one that started that.
I was talking about gambling.
Yeah, and but you were started like, oh, that, gotta, that aside.
The odds have to be odds. Worse, and then you were gone.
Sorry.
Anyway, one point I did want to bring up before we move on from the actual value of the contract. Connor McDavid, when he signed his deal as a cap hit percentage, was 16.67. Nathan McKinnon's cap hit percentage on this one is just 15.27%. So as far as cap hit percent, significantly smaller than the McDavid contract. It's actually quite similar to the deals that Kane and Taves signed years ago. They were at 15.22%.
For the record, the highest cap hit percentage deal that I know of was Ovechkin's deal. That he signed in 2008, that 13-year contract was 18.96%. Crosby's, I think, was like 14%. What, but again, that was like a 15-year contract, something like that.
Yeah. Those were contracts that are now very, very illegal.
Yeah, and... it was a 12-year deal, 14.5%. So it's high. The cap percentage is high. The AAV is high. The money is high. All of it is high. But again, we were just talking about it. For the last 5 years, he's been a top five player. He's been an elite postseason performer. He's one of the most dominant players in the NHL today. He's in his prime. You really don't. You aren't seriously concerned about decline until about 32. That's when you start to be like, okay, we can really start to see something, and you just never know. Like he may not start declining until he's 35.
Right.
He might decline when he's 30, but they've got a couple of years until they have to worry about that, no matter what. So this is it. Like. Really, this sets up, you know, and I've said this multiple times. They've got five of their top six forwards are now locked up for at least the next 3 years. When Rantanen is the next guy on this list, They've signed 3 8-year contracts in the last year and a half, year and change, really, with Landis Gognachushkin and now McKinnon. They've got Gerard and Makar signed long-term. Byram is an RFA, so they'll have at least four. They'll have 4 years of RFA to work with for him. Their big guns are kind of set. Like they really, the thing about the whole, oh, they have a cap problem. Like, what money do they need to spend? Like, they're probably going to lose Devon Taves because the cap won't go up enough in time for that to happen. So that's probably going to happen. But again, with Gerard and Byram there, you're really set up. You know, not that you could just lose a guy like that and be okay, but they are set up to be able to lose a guy like that and not have it crater their defense. So they're in a good position. Outside of, you could maybe say, Newhook and Byram, they don't have any major contracts on the horizon. Even Georgiev, 3 years. He's under contract for 3 years, so they don't have to invest in that position again for a couple of seasons now. So they really will be okay. Taves is the likely only guy that you can point to and say you're probably not going to be able to keep this guy.
Right.
He's played too well. You're only like. Hope is that Byram takes that job and Taves becomes more of a second pairing guy and stops getting Norris votes. maybe his next deal is for $8 million instead of 10. And even then you're gonna have a hard time keeping that guy around.
And even then you're gonna have to really hope he loves it in Colorado.
Yeah, and like, he will be going into his 30s at that point. He will be in his 30s by the time his next deal is up. So, you're not sure there. Newhook and Byram are both fair questions. Because of the way that things are set up now, because the roster is now very top-heavy with salaries at the top, you're probably going to have to get bridge deals on those guys. 2-3 years.
Right. Like, financially, like, the best case scenario might be actually for the Avs for Newhook to have another like 30-ish point season and then break out next year.
Well, and then they give him like JT Compher's like 3-4 year deal, and then So that's where I think that's their current kind of cap situation for the next few years. Because if you look, their expiring deals are really just their whole bottom six, like, and that's not irrelevant, but those are also the easiest players to find on a consistent basis. You know, Compher, Rodriguez, Helm, Cogliano are all UFAs next year, and that's 2/3 of your fourth line, maybe your 2C this year in Rodriguez. You don't know. So
they set themselves up certainly for the next 3 years to be, hey, we're still right in the middle of our window.
They're going to have to find, like, they're really going to have to find value in those, on those parts of the roster. That's going to be hard to do because that's typically where teams are most inefficient with their money, is in kind of the middle of the roster like that, like the middle of forwards. They're like, oh, $3 million isn't very much. And then they end up with five of those guys. And you're like, huh, this is kind of a problem. Because the whole point here is you need to get guys on cheap deals that provide surplus value. Like Evan Rodriguez this year is a wonderful example. A guy that is a $2 million deal, you fully expect he is going to outperform that $2 million. And if he's a $5 million player, for $2 million, you're in the money, you're golden. Where McKinnon really hurts is, while it's been easy for us to say, oh well, you just take away EJ's money and McKinnon gets it and you're done. okay. But then you lose EJ. And that's the whole point of why McKinnon's contract was so valuable, is that you were getting an elite player at such a discount that you were able to have another guy on your roster making $6 million that you maybe otherwise would not have been able to go out and afford. So this is where, look, the Colorado's front office has done an exceptional job over the last few years of making the most of Colorado's cap situation, making the most of McKinnon's $6.3 million deal. They've done a great job. To be honest with you, Makar's contract already is a gigantic steal.
Yep.
And will only provide even better value as the years go, because Makar's only 23 years old. History tells us that his best years are still 3 to 5 years away, which is fucking crazy to think about when you look at his career. So this is where you have this is where your next challenge comes in with the McKinnon deal, is that this raises the bar. They've got to now kind of do the thing that they have struggled a little bit with, where they go and they mine value from kind of the middle of that roster area.
Well, and the other thing too, just kind of a last thing on like the actual value of the deal itself. Like for me, it's also funny how this conversation, how different it is if they don't win 2 months ago, right? Totally. How you're now in this thing of like, okay, well, you're having to pay him now, and it's going to get a lot harder to build these super deep rosters. And you know, it becomes a lot more of a juggling act. But now that this core has a cup, like you, to the point that you've made a couple times now, AJ, like you have the bulk of this core locked up for at least 2-3 years here. You have a couple chances to make some runs at this again, you know, with a core that's gone through it, with a core that's done it. And you just don't feel that like added pressure of, wow, you wasted the cheap contract. Now he's going on to the more expensive one. It's going to get a lot harder. There's just a little bit of that weight off, which I think makes a lot of this too. Because look, like, I don't know if we're necessarily downplaying it, but we understand the reality here. That's a high-end elite player. That's kind of where the contracts are. But if they don't win that cup a couple months ago, this is a much tougher pill to swallow, because you are looking at, okay, the challenges and how do you get better? How do you improve? But you step back at it now, you say the core is locked up. They've been together. They now know what it takes to get over the hump, to get across the finish line. Cool. We feel good. We feel like this gives them enough flexibility to just kind of cycle them in and out at the bottom, because that core is so solidified. It's just funny to think about how different these exact same events play out if they don't win that Stanley Cup, or not even play out, but what they mean if you don't have a banner that you're putting up in a couple weeks.
To be honest, the commitments that they made may not have been the commitments that they made, because it's a lot easier to be like, well, these guys just made a Stanley Cup run together, so we'll just do it again, right?
Right.
Versus, hey, they got close, but look at Montreal, look at Dallas. There's no guarantee that you're getting back to that level. Look at Vegas. There's no guarantee you can get back to that level. Exactly. How many of these teams, you know, Nashville, San Jose, those teams have been good and competitive for a long time, made one cup run with those
Washington.
Cores.
I think Washington's a great team.
One cup run with those cores, and they lost, and they never were heard from again.
Like, losing a Stanley Cup final is often like the worst thing that can happen to a franchise.
Yeah, I mean, go and look for my money. I'm just saying, it's really hard to come back from losing a cup final.
Yep.
Part of another thing that makes the Tampa group so impressive that they did that. They went through like two brutal defeats in the playoffs, losing the cup final.
Yeah, the 2015 sweep group was way different from the one that lost against Columbus. There were some same faces, yeah. But like, whew, that was that was a group that went through a lot of changes, and then the Columbus one, they went through a lot of changes, and they bounced back. Like, hey, they did a good job there, and now we'll see how they do after losing
in the cup final.
Most recent heartbreaker.
Yeah. Now on the back end of this, like, do you have it in you to do that again? What you've just spent.
Well, and because they've spent so much money keeping that group together, it's both justifiable and a cautionary tale.
Yeah,
because you're like, well,
no one's going, oh darn, after you won two cups.
Yeah, and then lost a third cup final. Like,
right, it's a little bit of a different story there.
Absolutely, man. They are going to be a fascinating follow for the next year or two to really see how they kind of balance. As you know, Stamkos and Kucherov and Hedman start to get a little in, you know, deeper into their 30s. The sacrificing of McDonough right off the top, losing Andre Palat right off the top, like some of this stuff is just, these are big losses for them, and that's the area where right now Colorado is not facing that problem yet. Like, what do they do with JT Compher? Do they bring JT Compher back next year? Honestly, I would say probably not. But that's where you have Ben Myers. That's where you have Alex Newhook. You know, maybe you get something out of Sampo Ranter, one of the prospects. I don't want to go through the entire list again, but maybe you get bottom six guys out of some of those prospects, so that you aren't having to pay $3-5 million for a player of JT Compher's caliber anymore. But that's where the difference between Colorado and Tampa is that Tampa's on the backside of that run, and Colorado is now set up for the next 5 years. In my opinion, for the next 5 years, they're the team to beat. Certainly for the next two, while Taves is still in Colorado.
I think the next three, it's definitely true, and then you kind of reassess from there. Again, even with McKinnon's deal next year, the Avs have about $12.5 million under today's cap to, yes, you have to deal with the Newhook and Byram deals, but after that, it's really just their bottom six that they really need to sign. And that's enough money to get that done.
Well, and like Myers is a, he is an RFA at the end of this year, because they burned the first year of that ELC in those five games last year. So
you have that. You have Myers set up. You have, hopefully, between pick your favorites of Kaut, Olausen, Ranta, Foodie, whoever, some ELC replacements for guys like Cogliano and Helm. It shouldn't be too hard for the next handful of years for the Avs.
Yeah.
We are brought to you by FOCO, though, since we're talking about championships. They do have some Avs championship merch still left out there. You can still get the top human bobblehead with the Stanley Cup. I'm sure AJ's disappointed that it's not sold out. But Devon Taves bobblehead still out. There's a bunch of other stuff out there. They have super dope, like, shoes and hats and masks and all sorts of stuff that you can get from the Avs or any of your local Colorado teams. So highly recommend you go check out FOCO today. They got all the merch in the world you can imagine. That's pretty much all I got to say about it. When you head over to FOCO.com, there's a link in the description below. You can use code DNBR to get 10% off your purchase. Again, that's FOCO.com. You can check it out today to get all of your dope stuff. We're also brought to you by Breck Brew, not just the official beer of DNBR, but also throwing the Hootenanny down at their little location. October 8th and 9th. I say little, it's like a gigantic location. That place is huge. But October 8th and 9th, they're having a big festival for their 32nd birthday. They have a bunch of bands there, including Spin Doctors and some local bands, all sorts of stuff. If you want to go grab a drink, it's a great place to go. Maybe not quite DNBR bar good, but pretty darn close. It's super sick for big events like that. So go to breckbrew.com today. Check it out. You can get your tickets to the Hootenanny and just see all their awesome other stuff, too. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Two super chats to get to here very quickly. First, we have Kevin with $2 saying, Mac attack is back, Jack. Thank you very much. And then next we have Pin King with $5 saying, I hope he is saving some of it so he doesn't become another statistic of broke former pro athletes.
Invest.
What's that? It would be a little bit weird with a $15 million signing bonus to do this, but the advice I always hear is, on your new contract, you take the first paycheck and you put it all in a savings account and forget about it. That way you always have that money.
Yeah, well, him having just a base salary of $7,000. Can a man live off of $775,000?
How could
he possibly? He's just banking his $15 million signing bonus on July 1st of next year. Poor guy. $775,000, what a... No, no longer rich Mons over there. He's the poor Mons.
I actually am not. I believe that statistic, the number of players that go bankrupt, is markedly lower in
hockey. The NHL.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see that documentary, Broke?
I don't know. I listened to it on my drive from Winnipeg to Denver.
Interesting. Yeah. Where is it? Where'd you find it?
It's a 30 for 30, so you can find it on Disney Plus.
No kidding. Dude, that one was, that was just really interesting. Cause that's another thing. Like, I was getting annoyed this morning. I saw a couple people talking about, or not a couple people. I saw this one person. I think it was on like a Sportsnet. There was a big national thread complaining that Nathan MacKinnon got $12.5 million. And a couple people were like, how can you say that's bad? And his whole thing was like, he shoots a puck around. Is that really worth $12 million? All these professional, you know, athletes, blah, blah, blah. And I just get annoyed because I'm not saying that, like, it's an entertainment business. I'm not saying that, you know, there isn't a lot of money that's paid to them and like whatever. But I do hate when people water it down to like, oh, they just play a game. Like, people can't even begin to fathom the sacrifice and the work that goes into being a professional athlete.
Also, how important it is, just in general. You wanna make it reductive like that, but what did the world turn into when all the sports went away at the same time? People were fucking miserable. Now that's not entirely because of sports. Part of that was everybody being stuck at home and not being able to go out and do things. But if we woke up tomorrow and sports were just gone.
Yeah, dude.
Not like they never existed and we just boop, but just gone. I mean, first of all of us would be unemployed, so that would
let's not imagine that too hard.
But it would just not, like, what do you do for fun? What would the millions of people who center their lives around sports in general, and think of how many people are just one sport people in the world.
Right.
You know, somebody like me who loves a lot of different sports, who even am I at that point?
Well, and then the comment that just came in, like, again, people I don't think appreciate like how much they put their bodies on the line, you know, their long-term health. Again, Josh Manson, I was just talking to my mom about this a few weeks ago. Josh Manson lived away from his family for like 3 months. Because he got traded and they didn't know what was going to happen next. You know, you're talking about they have kids in school and then they get traded. They got to pull them out, enroll them somewhere else. And then they get traded again. Like, being a pro athlete, like, yeah, they make a lot of money and it's very, you know, glamorized, but people don't quite give it enough credit for how difficult it is to like, be a pro athlete.
Well, and like, you always have people who are like, oh, they could dry their tears with their piles of money. And you're like, dude, they have a skill that is valued.
Right.
It is not their fault that people are giving them money for it, okay?
Right.
Like, there are a lot of athletes. The Olympics are a wonderful example of this. A lot of athletes who don't make piles of money doing a thing that they love. And
put all that hard work into it. Well, dude,
even within, again, you see the Nathan MacKinnon, you know, $12 million a year contract, and you forget that there are a lot of players in the NHL who are on league minimum deals, 1-year deals, and, you know, your agent fees and your taxes and all kinds of stuff like that.
his actual take-home of that is going to be like $7 million or whatever.
I mean, oh, right. Well, I'm even talking like, again, like you think of the Curtis McDermott. So it's like that dude, if his career ends after this next contract, like he has to keep working. Like he's not like set forever, I mean, whatever. Forget
actual NHLers. You're talking about tweeners who are making like – 70k in the NHL, which, look, 70k is great. You can live off 70k easily, but these, it's not like these guys have millions of dollars in the bank, some of them.
Yeah, set up for life and all that. But yeah,
and it's one of the things when people talk about baseball too, where they're like, oh, this guy's getting, because, you know, we have, you in baseball, I literally listened to a podcast at 5 o'clock this morning because I couldn't sleep again, breaking down free agents into the $100 million tier, the $200 million tier, and which guy might break $300 million. And, like, there are, you know, the conversation focused around 10 guys.
Yep.
But think about how many of those guys, and they're, this is where baseball's actually made a major improvement in the last 12 months, but how many of these guys are
25 years
career
old,
career minor leaguers.
In double A making $12,000.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's where they have, they cut a bunch of minor league teams and that wasn't great. But then they're raising salaries and they're unionizing and they're doing all kinds of things. Anyway, we could get into a way deeper, like, business of sports discussion and being like
TDSP topic, maybe.
Well, and being like, hey, is your argument that $12 million should go to things like education or infrastructure in our cities or whatever? I'm with you. Like, I would love to see more investments in those areas. But there are areas where a lot more money is being spent in areas that I would personally disagree with, that I could reallocate some of that money and not worry about what Nathan MacKinnon is making.
Yep.
Anyway,
Alex
Galchenyuk, baby.
Yeah, I want to get final thoughts on MacKinnon before we talk about that.
Good for him. Thrilled for him. Thrilled for the Avs. He's earned it. Somebody in chat made a great point. You're talking about the tip top of number one franchise centers in the NHL. Personally, I think McDavid and Matthews are probably better players. You know, but. And they'll probably make a little bit more money on their next deals, in part because their contracts come later than MacKinnon's. That's good timing for them. They're going to get a little bit lucky there. But, you're talking about a top five player getting paid like a top five player. What are we doing here?
Very simple.
Good for him. He earned it.
Okay.
Cosign.
The other not an official contract, it's just a PTO news for the app today, is Alex Galchenyuk does look like he's got a PTO, will be at training camp. Galchenyuk has always been a fairly divisive hockey player, just in general.
We couldn't even agree on it before the show.
Yeah. Not just because of his, how good is he as a hockey player in general, but also has been a guy willing to, he'll throw down in the bottom six, put it that way. At least for a smaller guy.
Look, I don't hate this. Like I've long been a fan of the, low risk, especially PTO for this. To your point, regardless of what you think about Galchenyuk, his whole career, like the one sell behind him, the reason he has gotten more and more chances here over the last few years is it's the offensive upside. He scored 30 goals once 6 years ago. That's what he was drafted on, is that offensive touch. Offense is the hardest thing to create in the NHL, so teams are always going to give him a look. I don't have an issue with them saying, yeah, we wouldn't mind taking a look at this and just seeing if we think it can add some value on a really cheap deal. The other thing to keep in mind, Alex Galchenyuk's agent is Pat Brisson. Do you guys know of any other players whose agent is Pat Brisson?
The guy who just signed for $100 million today.
$100 million deal is handed out to Pat Brisson's agent. And about 15 minutes later, his other client who's still looking for a job gets a PTO. I don't doubt that at the end of this phone call, or I don't know if Pat Brisson is here in Denver talking with Chris McFarland. Hey, got my other guy here who still needs a look. Would you guys mind bringing him into camp? Like, to me, that I think that's kind of how this went. And they're saying, yeah, we'll take a free look at a potential offensive player. And if for some reason, somehow he shows up to camp and blows our doors off, yeah, we're happy to look at a guy as a possible option next to a skilled center. But with the way that this Avs roster is put together, short of him showing up and I mean, like literally like breaking out, like looking like he's in the 20 to 30 goal scorer form again, I don't see room on this roster where he makes sense. And I'm not expecting him to show up and look like that, by the way. I just don't know where the fit is. I don't have an issue with them looking at him at all. I'm just not sure where he goes.
So my counter argument to that would be, one, he's 28. So mechanically, he should be in the prime of his career.
Yep.
As far as that is concerned. I know he hasn't ever lived up to some of the numbers he had earlier in his career. But you look at a couple of different spots. In Toronto in 21, he had 12 points in 26 games. That's enough of a scoring rate to be an effective player. Like, if the Avs could get a 15-15 guy out of him, it's a win for them.
Sure.
The problem is what you've already stated. There is no room on this team. Even if you brought in Galchenyuk, now you're talking about moving guys like Hudon and Bleed. Would rather those names be Maltsev and Kaut down the lineup, but they're even deeper down the lineup now. So it gets really, really hard to slot a guy like that into your lineup, not just as an everyday guy, but as even a 13th forward. You already have multiple players that are doing that for you.
Yeah. And honestly, again, you guys know me. Like, I'm never going to be as concerned about, like, oh, are you bumping down a guy like Martin Kaut? Forget any of the Eagles guys, Kaut, Maltsev. I don't see where he fits before you even start considering any of those guys, let alone being like a vast improvement. Again, I'm never going to rule out the possibility that he, you know, is going to show up and look real good. And he did a bunch of training in the off season. I'm never going to write that off as impossible, but I just don't see where you make the room fit. Like I said, before you even get to those guys, then add in those fringe guys. And it just, I don't know.
Gets really tight really fast. But
I mean, anytime that you can take a guy that's been on six teams in 5 years and has put up seasons of, let's see here, 8 goals, 5 goals, and 6 goals in the last 3 years.
Now, hold on. To be fair with that, he did miss a lot of time, whether that be for injury or scratches.
Sick. So he's being healthy, scratched, and he has injury problems.
I'm not saying that those are good things. I'm just saying throwing a goal number out there without providing a games played number isn't really fair.
Yeah, the 6 goals in 60 games last year in Arizona. Definitely a guy that I'm looking at as a dude that can help my cup caliber roster.
I had 21
was a
points
bottom in, feeder on the bottom feeder 21 of points NHL in 60 games. Year.
You're telling me that's not as much production as anyone else in the Avs bottom line is going to have. And I get it. He's horribly defensively. I get it. There's problems there, but I'm not, I don't want to just write the guy off and act like he's completely useless.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Definitely has shown that he deserves a look. Dude, he's fucking terrible. I don't know what we're doing here.
Well, I know
this is a guy. This is a guy that gets drafted in the top five and has spent the last 5 years bouncing around the league on that. And yeah. Like, I scored 30 goals once. Yeah, I mean, a thing that has happened 6 years ago. This is not the Valnichushkin, 25 years old. He's been with one team where it didn't work out. This is a dude who has been on, he's been in six organizations.
Yeah, but again, but the argument,
six
the argument
front offices that, gave the him a look and then moved on.
Thing, again, I remember it very clearly because it was me against you. The argument, the new thing was he's bad, he's terrible, he couldn't hack it in the bottom half of Dallas's lineup. He had to go to the KHL where he was even more terrible. Why would
he didn't
you do
have
this?
To go to the KHL? Nichushkin chose to go to the KHL because he hated the head coach.
But the point that everyone was making was, yeah, he went over there and he continued to be bad.
I like all this shit about Jack Johnson isn't even true. I was on board with Jack Johnson last year. Said that he was going to get signed.
But again, like
Evan, with a great point, Nichushkin at least had underlying numbers where you could be like, hey, maybe there's a thing that you like here.
Maybe there's something there.
There's no underlying number that says that you're getting a quality NHL player from Alex Galchenyuk.
Again, I don't think either of us are like hard disagreeing with you. I step back and look at him like, I can see why you're at least like, cool, we'll take a look.
I don't really care that he's getting a PTO personally, because yeah, I don't think it's like Artem Anisimov last year. I don't think this is going to end in a contract.
I'm
not overly pressed about it, but I'm just like, look, he's been fucking terrible in the NHL. And for like just a couple of years now,
they're just not in the situation to do reclamation projects like they used to be. Like,
yeah, this is a guy that would need to come in and just be different. He would just need to be like a different player than he has been for several years. You never know. You never know when a guy is going to vibe with a coach. And again, this is why you give him a PTO. You put him in your environment. You give him a month to see what he looks like in preseason, in training camp. Give him all these other things. Like, all of this, you know, all these different things are, hey, well, a PTO literally costs you nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
It costs ownership a weekly stipend of like $800 or something. Like, it is just not a big deal. And if you get something out of him, you're thrilled.
Yeah.
Like, you're thrilled. But this is a guy, when you go and you look at his entire body of work through 600 fucking NHL games here, the first, like, 300 of those games, maybe 400 of those games, he was a good NHL player. And it's just been a long time. This is like when this, you know what, his career reminds me of Wojtek Wolski's. He burned bright really, really early on. And then completely fell apart in the latter half of his 20s. And okay.
It fell apart in the COVID season.
No big deal. No big deal here for me that he's been on teams that have been competitive and they all keep moving on from him. And then he gets to a bad team. He plays bad hockey all year. And he's rewarded with a PTO on the Cup champs.
I do think he still produces decently on good teams. Again, the defense is kind of a black hole that is not really functional in a bottom six. But I do think there could be something there. I just don't think it fits with the Avs. I know you got to go.
Yep, I was going to say, yeah, we got to talk to Nate. So I'm gonna jump off. But yeah, no, one Evan said something about like him gelling with Bednar, and I think that'll kind of be what makes it or breaks it. Can you be a part of this system? Can you be a part of this culture? I'm with what both of you guys just said there at the end. If you can get him in here and he shows well, cool. Give him a chance. I don't care if you like what you see, if he's shown out, if it's more of what we've seen the last couple of years, as opposed to the first few years of his career, PTO costs you nothing. I'm going to jump out of here. I will talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening, everyone.
We are wrapping up anyway here. We did get one more super chat very quickly. Jason with $10. Very generous. Future Avs problem. McKinnon is fantastic. Makar may be generationally great. As long as the Avs can keep Makar later, good deal.
Yeah, I don't think they'll have a problem with Makar just because that's so far down the line. And so the cap situation would be completely different by that
Kale
point.
Kale has always been a very loyal person also.
It's Taves that I'm worried about them losing. Rantanen that I wonder how hard it will be to make it work to keep him.
Yeah.
Rantanen is a little hazier just because he's right in that window of, oh, the cap could take a huge jump here. And we don't know what that situation looks like.
With Rantanen too, what side are you on? That's a guy who you're thinking he could literally have an MVP season in the next 3 years. Like,
yeah.
If he really pops, all of a sudden that contract goes up, 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 up.
I think Rantanen is for sure a top 15 player in the NHL.
Yep.
And the only reason that you're saying, well, maybe you can't, maybe you can't keep him is because in that top 15, you have two other guys.
Yep.
So that's why. Yeah.
Yep.
Do we have a mock? Scott Doucette can fuck off. This guy's got to go. You've been personally a huge piece of shit to me for years. So get out of our chat. Stop watching our pod. You're not welcome here at all. Don't come to the bar. Don't do anything.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That's not a no. We're not playing that. You don't get to be a piece of shit to me on a personal level and hang out in our community. You've chosen not to be a part of it for a long time. Fuck off. To answer his question, were we complaining about Max contract? The entire podcast existed of us being like, this pod ruled, or this contract rules. McKinnon is on his way to a Hall of Fame career, and the Mount Rushmore of Colorado athletes. So yeah, no, he was on Facebook, which also a tell. So anyway, sorry to derail that with that, but that was personal. That was ultra personal.
We're wrapping up the show anyway, so
yeah.
in any case, looking at the Avs right now, again, this next 3-year window, you got to feel really good about it. Certainly the next 2 years with Dave still under contract.
You look at last year's, the two teams in the Stanley Cup final last year, the Avs brought almost everything, almost everyone back, sans really like Kadri and Kemper, right?
Yeah. And Berkey. That's the only other significant one.
And yeah, Berkey will be a low-key big loss too, I think. But you look at that, you look at what Tampa lost in Palat, McDonough, and then you look at like aging and everything. The Avs are like in the heart of this thing.
Yep.
And that's where I think you feel better than Tampa Bay will feel today, is that all their guys are still really 20 years old. Like Colorado's over 30 players here. What are we looking at? It's fourth line and third pairing.
Yep, pretty much.
Manson at 30, Johnson at 34, and then Helm and Cogliano.
Their oldest top six player is 29 in
the league. Yeah, Landeskog turns 30 in the season.
Yep. Yeah. So they got
it's pretty good, man.
It's funny to think that McKinnon really is in the heart of his prime. Same with Nichushkin, same with Lehkonen. Mikko really should just be hitting his prime now. It's a pretty good hockey team.
I think that's where, when you're talking about Mikko, like when I say that it could be hard to keep him in a couple of years, it absolutely could be, because the next couple of years might be the best that he has to offer. When you think about Mikko just coming off a 92-point season, he's got a couple 80-point years under his belt. He's been a point-per-game guy for 5 years. 5 years? Yeah, 5 years. Dude. And a big part of that is McKinnon, too.
Yep.
A big part of that is riding shotgun next to McKinnon. This year could be the great litmus test for Mikko, right? Like, they could roll that landing McKinnon-Nichushkin.
And let Mikko carry the second line, yeah.
Exactly. And let Mikko and Lehkonen really be the guys on their second line.
Yep. All right. I'm good on that note. So we're going to get out of here for the day. We appreciate all y'all so very much. Thank you for the super chats and everything.
Except Scott Doucette. I do not appreciate him.
Fair enough. We will be back tomorrow. I believe we will have a normal time show before media, but it's possible we have one in the evening.
No, we should be good.
I think we're good. But
yeah, we'll probably have a show before Media Day tomorrow. Media Day is like late afternoon.
It's like
but
4.
I don't know that it's worth us doing like a 7 p.m. show.
Right.
Just to be like, the guys are in the best shape of their lives, and they're very excited to defend the Stanley Cup.
Okay, so yeah, we'll be live tomorrow with that, and then Thursday training camp starts, so we'll be working around all of that stuff.
Yeah,
your local training camps are open to the public, so if you want to come vibe and say hello, we'll be there.
Yeah, it should be. I think all of us will be there. Megan and Evan included, I think, should also be there. We've got a lot of things that we're going to be doing this week, so should be a fun, really fun week.
Yep, should be fun. Looking forward to it. For today, we're out of here, and we will talk to you on the next one.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.